Wonderful. Shavuot world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Beit, and we are right at the very first word on the daf. So remember, the last thing that we learned was the Chiddush that we understood. Finally, what was the big Chiddush? That we thought there was nothing new, basically, in what Rabbah was teaching. It turned out that Rabbah was teaching not stam, that something that is balua is not metame to the outside and is not mitame from the outside, but rather that even if somebody would swallow two tabaot, one of which was tame and one of which was tahor, that then in the case that they even touch while it's balua, that which is balua is literally not metame, even within the same space. And that was the Chiddush. Now, the problem is that that Chiddush leaves us with an issue that needs explaining in our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah talks about a case where you have a dead human fetus and you have a midwife who touches that dead human fetus. And it says over there, the mother is not Tmei'ah, but the midwife or the doctor, whoever is in attendance who touches that fetus, is Tmei'ah. Now, we thought that originally, before we heard Rabbah, we were sort of naive, and we just assumed that the reason that the mother is Tahira is because the fetus is Balua. But the midwife, because she is in the same space as the Balua, by putting her hand into the womb, is going to be Mekabel Tumah. But now that Rabbah explains that the concept of Tumah Blu'a is that it's not Metame even that which is in the same place, that it literally doesn't have Tumah, so then how do we explain the fact that the midwife is Tumah? This is exactly the same case of the two Tabaot. We have one with midwife, who's Tahira, and we have one dead fetus, which is Tame, and even though they're in the same space, how do we explain that? Oh, my Rabbah, well, maybe an Uber is different, because the Ubar isn't really exactly Balua. Since the Ubar is definitely going to be delivered in one fashion or another, so that's not really called Balua. But if something was totally Balua, then the din would be like I said, says Rabbah, that it wouldn't be Metame at all while it's in the state of Balua. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand. The ring that the person swallowed is less sofa, let's say, than the Uber is? What do you think, that ring is going to stay in there? That ring is ultimately going to be excreted. And therefore, why is the Uber so falatzeit, the Tabat not so falatzeit? It's exactly the same thing. Therefore, we're going to need an alternative. Elo Amar Rava, the answer is not what it is that Rava just said, but it's the Pumpeditoi. They know what the reason is, and that's Rav Yosef. The Om Rav Yosef, Om Rav Yuda, Om Rav Shmuel. The truth is that the Tuma of the midwife that we're referring to here is not really a Tuma d'oraisa, a Nabi Divrei Torah. It is only Midivrei Sofrim. It's a Gzeira, as we're going to see, that since it's possible that the Uber would actually come out and be in contact with the midwife outside of the womb, so because of that, we wanted to make sure that it wouldn't happen, she wouldn't know about it, so we made a Gezerah, but we'll get to the details of that Gezerah shortly. But in any event, it's really only Midivrei Sofrim. I don't understand. Why didn't you just say, this is a Tumah Midivrei Sofrim? Like, what's all this jazz? This is not a Tumah Midivrei Torah. This is a Tumah Midivrei Sofrim. Like, I just say, you know, Min HaRabbanan. Like, that's what you usually say when we're dealing with the Gezerah. So my Eino Midivrei Torah Ela Midivrei Sofrim. What are you trying to say? I'll tell you. I'm trying to explain something to you. Because you might have thought, Rabbi Yosef is saying, that the Mishnah was going alibi to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that an uber b'me'ei isha is actually tamei. Now, Rashi learns that this means that he doesn't hold of Tumah Bluah. Tosfos says that's not the case at all, and we are going to learn the sugya like Tosfos. The reason that we would have thought that it's going to leave it to Rabbi Akiva, the issue over here is not whether Tumah Bluah is Batami. The issue is, let's imagine a situation where this midwife touches this uber and it is outside of the womb, but only an aver was outside. Its head had not yet come outside. Now we're going to see that the whole gezeira over here is a gezeira. Maybe the head had already come out. Now the thing is that the way Rashi is learning, that doesn't really make any sense. It doesn't matter what came out. What's important is that the negiah was a negiah outside of the womb, right? Therefore, Tosfos says the issue is like this. The issue is the question of whether an uber is actually tahor, meaning that even if it sticks out of hand, we have a gezeiras hakosuv that tells us that the uber, which is Rabbi Yishmael Shita, even parts of it that are not balua, forget about the time of balua. From the time of balua, if the uber had stuck out a hand, then that hand would have been metame. But Rabbi Yishmael holds, in addition to the issue of tumah balua, there is actually a gzirat ha-katuv, which we'll talk about later, the machlokas of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, that an uber b'mei ima does not have tumah. And therefore, even if the uber sticks out its hand, it's also not going to be metame. It's only if the uber was actually born, which is why we say the gezeira is maybe the uber's head will already have come out, and the midwife wouldn't have realized it, and she would have become tamei. So what he wants to say is, don't think that this is going aliba to Rabbi Akiva, meaning that the gezeira is perhaps that even if the hand of the uber came out, and that would be enough to be metame the midwife. No. It's saying even according to Rabbi Yishmael, d'yomar uber b'me'ei isha tahoris, you would say the Rabbanim wouldn't make a gezeira that maybe the head came out, would they? They did. Gozru batuma min Rabbanim. That's what Rabbi Yosef was trying to say. My taima, and what's the basis of this takana? Omer of Hoshaya. But that explains the lotion, you see. Dovers, this tumah is not midivrei Torah, meaning there is no way, even if she would have touched the uber, it would not have been metame, even if the hand of the uber had already exited the cervix. Wouldn't have made any difference. The real gezerah is true, even aliba de Rabbi Shmuel, because Omer of Hoshaya, gezerah shemayotzi vlad rosho chutz leprosto. The question over here is that it's possible that actually the fetus may have literally been born, and already the head of the fetus left the cervix. And the midwife wouldn't realize it, and then you would think that it would actually, then it would really be tummy. So since she won't know, because of that, we made a gezeira that even she thinks that she's tahor, we have to be gezer that she's tmeah, because maybe the actual head came out. But if that's the case, why are we talking only about the head? Why don't we say only the midwife? Why aren't we talking about the woman who's giving birth? Yochi isha nami. If we're gezer that maybe the child was born, so why isn't the woman herself maybe came in contact with the head that she didn't realize? No, what do you mean? A woman can sense if the head had emerged. Isha margeshet batzma. She's able to know. And she wouldn't think that she's Tahora. Well, then why wouldn't she tell the midwife? Why do we have to make a gezeira? Guys, she's got other things on her mind right now. rather than talk. Oh, by the way, midwife, you should know that you were mekabel tumah. Thank you very much. I'll let you know next week, not right now. So she's about Trida, she's a little bit preoccupied. Anyway, speaking about this machlokas that we just had between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, what is that machlokas? The Tanya. Turns out that we actually have a pasuk. And the pasuk is, V'chol asher yiga al pnei hasadeh. So this pasuk, which is the description of Tumas Meis, Bichalal Cherev, Oba Meit, Oba Etzem Adam, Oba Kover, Yitma Shivat Yamim. So the question over here is, what is the meaning of Al Pnei HaSadeh? Like, what does that have to do with anything? In the open field? Yes, because if the Uber is Bimei Isha, then it is actually not going to be Metame. That's the point. And remember that curiously, that Lashon of Al Pnei HaSadeh is the same Lashon as the Basar B'Sodeh Trefa, which talked about being outside of the woman's womb, right? So over here, when it says Al Pnei HaSadeh, it means that the Tumah is not when it's actually within its mechitzas, those mechitzas being the Me'eisha. So it says Rabbi Shmuel. So that means that Alibi Rabbi Shmuel, even if the hand of the Uber was not Balua, there's another reason why it won't be Metame. That's because the fetus is inside of the womb. That's the point. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he says that is not what it's coming to tell me. What it's talking about is where you have a golel v'dofek. So it's saying anything which is in the open on the field. The golel and the dofek are the parts of a kever which are visible in the field, so to speak. So that would be the side of a grave or the top of the grave. It's not locus Rashi and Tosis, but that's how Rashi learns it. We're just learning Kipshuta right now because we're not going back to the sugya that we did in Ayala's. Okay, so therefore, now we have a new machlokas. Is there a tuma at all of an uber that's bimei imoy? Even if it puts its hand out, it would still, even though it's not balua, it would still not be metame according to Rabbi Shmuel. And that's why we were saying that even Aliba to Rabbi Shmuel, we still made the Gezerah. Why? Because maybe its head had actually been born. The midwife wouldn't know. And so, in order to avoid those kind of circumstances, we made a takana that the midwife should be Tameah. But the truth is, you're absolutely correct. There is no Tumah because Rabbah is correct in saying that even if you're in the same space, and the midwife's hand is the equivalent of the other ring, that ring will not be metame. The other ring, in this case, the dead fetus will not be metame, the midwife. And the only reason the Mishnah says the midwife is tameah is because of a gezerah that maybe it was actually born. Now, how about Rabbi Shmuel? Why doesn't he accept Rabbi Akiva's approach about golel v'dofek? Well, because he holds, why would there be a pasuk to teach me the din of golel v'dofek? The din of golel v'dofek are halachas l'moshe mi-Sinai and do not require a pasuk. That's the whole point of halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. So the pasuk is coming to tell me something new, namely that unless the uber is al pnei hasadeh and instead it's in its mother's womb, it's not going to be metameh. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that the uber bimei isha is tameh, comes out that that's what we meant by this machlokas. Fine. So apparently Rabbi Akiva does not hold that it's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It's actually learned from this pasuk. That's how Rashi learns. Anyway, this din of Rabbi Akiva, that an uber bimei isha is tamei, how is he sure that that's true? I mean, isn't, forget about whether we darshan the words al pnei hasadeh. I mean, isn't the simple meaning of opening asadeh without looking to any kind of ribui for girl for dayfake and so on? The words themselves mean that if what it is that you touch is not opening asadeh, that it's not going to be mutame. So that's basically telling me what Rabbi Shmuel said. What is this additional? Where does he get that the Torah does not mean that? That's the simple meaning of the pasuk without any additional drushes. Omer Rabbi Hoshaya. Because the pasuk said, "Hanogea b'meit b'nefesh." Or what is b'meit b'nefesh? Means that even if the mate is inside of another body, this is again the same. This has been with us throughout the parak. So it's a behemah, ba behemah. We're talking about the tumah balua. Or we're talking about a new din of mate b'nefesh, and that means even if there is something within a different human being. So what would that be? What's a mate benefesh? That's an uber. An uber bime is a mate benefesh. So it's telling me that a mate hanogea bimate banefesh is tummy. So what do you want? It says beferish. So and the kol hanogea bimate benefesh adam asher yamot, and then it goes through Mishkan Hashem Timei and so on. Exactly. And that tells us that we cannot learn that the like Rabbi Shmuel says. So what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that? It's a pretty powerful pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel says it means exactly what it says, but it's not referring to a dead body. It's referring to the idea of the mate benefesh, the nefesh Adam, Adam hu benefesh, right? So the amount of dam that's necessary to support life, which is a revi'is dam, that's coming to tell me that revi'is dam is metame. And here's the mocker. Hanogea b'meit b'nefesh, the mate of that which would have supported the nefesh. So it's a revi'is dam. Ezu nefesh el adam shemitameh. Where's just the nefesh? Aviyomer is a revi'is dam. So why does Rabbi Akiva say it's referring dafka to an actual body, a fetus that is dead inside of a mother? I mean, it's a much more logical explanation, is it not? Yes, it is, except that remember, Rabbi Akiva has a pasuk that tells him that even if you don't have a revi'is dam from a single nefesh, even if you have a revi'is dam that comes mishnei meitim, it's mitztarev, and it's metame. The Tanya Rabbi Akiva omer, minayin le revi'is dam haba'a mishnei meitim, shemitama ba'o. We have a total of one revi'is that came from several meitim. How do we know that one of the special elements of the generic nature of blood is that it's also metame as if it's a single dead person, even though it came from several bodies? Because the dam is actually the same. Shenemar, v'al kol nafshot meit lo yavo. So al kol nafshot meit, this is a reference to Tumas Oil that a Kohen is not allowed to expose himself to. And it says nafshot. Does it say only nefesh meit? And that comes to tell me that even shtei nefashot, nafshot, well, shear of one meit, shtei nefashot, v'shiur echad. Lovely. Which brings us to the very special, delicious Malava Malka. I meant, sorry. I meant, which brings us to the very special introduction of Doc of our coming Mishnah. But that's just the start of the show, people.
Zot
Okay, we're back to another question. Now, going, we had a little bit of a discussion over here, moving on to humans. We can go back to animals again. And now we have to discuss what the relationship is of the tumah of that aver that was stuck out, became a treifa, and then you shechted the mother. Now, before we begin this sugya, I want to clue you in into what the issues are. It's going to take the Gemara quite some time to figure out what the real issues are in this Mishnah, in this Machlokas. And this is a brand new Gavi concept, which is called nipple. And this is kolash, based, the word nipple is a strange word. It's based on the pasuk of kol asher yipol mitocho, which we're going to analyze a couple of days from now. So this idea of nipple is what is the final straw that actually will determine the status of tumah in cases where something is not actually properly attached to where it's supposed to be. So let's imagine the situation that we have over here. We've got the case that we've been talking about. Behemoth sticks out a yad. Now that yad is now in a situation in which it is a treifa. The question is, does it become an actual nevela at any point, or does it always keep the concept of a treifa, which would mean that the shechita of the mother would be metaheret? Now, this would be similar to a case where a part of the animal itself is loose. So let's say it suffered an accident and now it has a leg that's trailing behind it, is not really connected in functionally to the body any longer, and that is called an Eva Hamidul Dal. So we can have an Eva of a Uber that is stuck out, and we can have an Eva Hamidul Dal in the behemoth. In both cases, we have the question of at what point does the determination of what the final status is of this aver? So let's imagine the aver is no longer viable. That makes it an aver min ha-chai. An aver min ha-chai has certain dinim of a nevela, but not all of the dinim of the nevela. And the din that it doesn't have a nevela is where it is similar to basar min ha-chai. These are all new concepts, very important to get them straight. Basar min ha-chai, where you have a piece of muscle that was removed from a living animal, is actually not metame. Only an aver min ha-chai is metame. So if you would remove an entire leg, then that leg would be metame because it's called an aver. What makes it an aver is that it has three components. It has basar, and it has edim, and it has atzamot. So it has to be an actual functional piece, not just functionally chemically, but it has to be functional in terms of movement. So it has to have muscle, and it has to have bone, and it has to have tendons. Now, if it doesn't have that, it's just considered to be a piece of meat, and it's not metame. On the other hand, if something is a nevela, then of course, any part, a kazayas of a nevela is metame. It doesn't have to be a complete aver. So for us to determine what the din is of this, let's say, aver medulla, or this aver that was sticking out of the mother's womb, let's say that we shechted the mother at the moment of shechita. Is that shechita going to impact the aver that is sticking out and make it a trefa shenishchata? Or is the shechita going to actually be the final blow that creates the din of nevelas on this aver and takes it off of the animal completely? And therefore, it would actually always be tummy. What if the mother dies? How about then? Would that aver be an avela, or would that aver be only an aver min ha-chai? Now, those are the issues of shchita osa nipul or not. Does the act of shchita make the final separation between the aver that was loose or between the aver that was sticking out, and therefore it cuts it off of the animal and solidifies its din as an aver min ha-chai? Or if shechita doesn't make nipul, then the shechita would actually help for that aver as well, right? So the same question would be death. Does death make nipul, and therefore the part that was sticking out, the part that was hanging loose, is now permanently an aver min ha-chai? Or is it actually, does it make it into an avela? And it's actually part of the whole nevela of this animal. And therefore, the whole thing is metame as a nevela and not as an aver min ha-chai. Now, this in the end, it's going to take us some time to get there, but this in the end is going to be the secret of what's going on in this Mishnah. So the question is whether shchita is a nipul or death is a nipul, and that's what we're going to be getting into in the entire discussion as we get along finally. Okay, so now if it wouldn't be shechted, so then of course everybody would be meida that if you touch this aver that is actually loose, it's certainly not going to be metame michai, because then there would be no way that anybody could hold that the shechita would be mafkia tuma once the tuma would be chal. That's for sure. But we'll see what the question would be. It's dafka because of shchita itself, or the death itself, that we can discuss the question of whether it's going to be metame. So let's do the Mishnah. Now, keeping that in mind, Behimah. So we're back in a difficult labor. It's a malpresentation, and the legs come out first. So hotzi ubaret yado, and this time you cut off the piece that was sticking out of the womb, and because there was nothing to do, the animal was going to die, and we didn't have the kalim to be able to do a cesarean on it. They shechted the mother because the mother was doomed. Okay, so what is the din? The din of the fetus, of course, is that it's kosher, and what's more, not only is it kosher, it actually is tahor, because even though it was in touch with that piece that was sticking out before, but at that point it was alive, and if it's alive, it can't be mekabel tuma, because even if the uber itself is not alive, but remember, as long as the mother is alive, this is actually a piece that we view as being kosher if you shechted it. Remember, it doesn't matter if the fetus is alive or dead or cut up. If it's inside of the mother, the shechitas ha'em is matir it. So if that's the case, there's no way that it would have been mekabel tumah because it's essentially still alive and it is potential meat only after it shechted. But I finally did shecht it, and the part that was Tameh and was Eva Menachai is not along. It's not here anymore. So, of course, how would it have been Mekabel Tumah? But how about if first you shechted the mother and then you cut off the piece that was sticking out? Now, there you've got a problem, because in that case, the piece that was sticking out, according to Rebbe Meir, became a nevela at that moment. And since, as you were taking it off, you were cutting it off, it was in touch still with the piece that was food. And again, that piece would be called food, even if it's alive, because once you shech the mother, remember, it's just walking meat. So even if it would be a ben bekuah walking around, it would still be food. And food is mekabel tumah. What kind of tumah is it mekabel? It is mekabel Tumas nevela, according to Rebbe Meir. So that means that it became a nevela because of the fact that it was shechted, and at that moment, it was actually completely taken off and was as if it was a nevela at that time. We'll see where he gets that from, but you can see this is dependent on whether there was nipul or not. Was it he yipo minivlatam? Because it's now essentially a tumas nevela, or is it only a trefa shchuta? When we say nevela, we mean, of course, eiver menachai. So that would have meant that I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir. The moment that I did that shchita, that piece fell off completely, and it's now an eiver menachai. So it says Rebbe Meir, the chachamim omrim, no. Why is it not shechted? It too is shechted, and therefore it would have a din of a trefa that was shechted. Now, there are times that a trefa that is shechted has a certain tumah, not tumas nevela, but we're going to see it has a tumah derabanan in cases that it's referring to hegdesh. So by kachim, it's actually metame a tumah derabanan. And therefore, the rabbanan here that argue, the chachamim that argue, and Rabbi Meir, they say that all we need to worry about over here is the tumah, not of the tumah chamura of the din of nevela, but rather it's just a tumas erchlin, and it's a tumah derabanan of trefa shchuta. Okay, so now we discuss the actual, in the Mishnah itself, we discuss the actual logic. So the Chachamim say, why would you even think that it could be tamei as an eiver menachai, like a nevela? All that it was a trefa, wasn't it? It was just a hand that was sticking out. Well, what's the din of a trefa that you shechted? Ma'amatzino b'trefa sheshchita tameh taharata. It doesn't get tameh if you actually shechted it. So even though it's dead, it's not nevela. The shechita has actually been tied here that you can't eat it, but it's not going to be metame. So then the shechita in this case, being as this is the shechita of a mother, which is the equivalent of the shechita of the uber, and part of the uber is a trefa, so this is just the classic trefa shenishchata. The trefa shenishchata is at worst has a tumah derabanan in cases of kachim, but I mean, like, why are you talking about an avela? Oh, Amar lahem Rabbi Meir, absolutely not. How are you comparing a shechita of a trefa where the animal itself that was trefa was nishchata? Of course, because you shechted the very thing that was the trefa. That was the mother itself. That's davar shebegufa. You're going to tell me that the shechita should be metayer, the aver that's sticking out? It's not part of its body. So what makes you think that you could be metayer it b'chlal? So of course I agree that a trefa shchuta is not metayer, is not metame. But I hold, as we're going to see in the end, that his logic is that the very fact that you shechted it means that this became disconnected at that moment, and therefore it has a din of Eivre Min HaChai, and Eivre Min HaChai is metame like an avela, as long as it remains the entire Eivre Min HaChai. By the way, says the Mishnah, Uminayim, where'd you get the idea that a trefa is actually able to be mituhar from the vela from Shechita? We've been assuming this all along, but maybe it's not true. Maybe Shechita does not help at all to take off tumas nevelas from a trefa. I mean, look. If you think about it, could you shecht a non-kosher animal and say, okay, so now it's not an avela. Now it's a piggy shchuta, and therefore now it's not going to be metame. No. A behemah tmeah is asura b'achila, and a trefa is asura b'achila. Now, I understand that you are absolutely justified in saying that shchita is something that is mitaher because it makes something that was usher as a chai, and now all of a sudden it becomes food. But you never would have said that about a non-kosher animal. You wouldn't say the shechita turns a non-kosher animal into food. That's not how shechita works. So at least doesn't seem to. If you can't turn a non-kosher thing kosher by shechting it, so why can you turn a trefa thing kosher by shechting it? Apparently, shechita doesn't work that way. Shechita doesn't turn things kosher. So just like a behemah tmeah ain't shechita, a trefa can't be turned into kosher just because you shechted it. Oh no, says the Tana of the Mishnah. That's not true. Actually, shechita turns things kosher. You know why shechita doesn't turn a non-kosher animal kosher? Not because that's not called one of the things that Shechita does. It is something that Shechita does. The thing is, though, that a behemah tmeah was never actually part of the set of things that you can shecht. It never had a moment in which Shechita was applicable to it, correct? But a trefa had a moment in which, here, this is an animal that you could shecht. Now something happened to it. So that doesn't take it outside of the set of things that are shchutim, and therefore shchita does its magic. It makes it actually kosher, maybe. So, I mean, maybe the point is that a behemah tmeah never had a sha'ata kosher, but a trefa that had a sha'ata kosher, so whatever happened to it, I don't know, got run over by a car. So at that moment, it's not going to lose its din of shchita. Its whole life from the time it was born, it was kosher for Shechita. So then maybe even when it becomes a trefa, I understand a trefa is actually usser for another reason. Okay, so that if the Torah said if it's trefa, it's usser, I can't get rid of that, but it would not be mitame because the Shechita would still do its magic, right? No. Please, this is not a good proof. Because even if it makes sense, what would you say about a case of a congenital defect? Suppose an animal was born with a hole in the lungs, right? Congenitally. Did it ever have a Shas HaKosher? No. So you can't tell me that the issue is whether it had a Shas HaKosher or not. That's not the point. HaReishonot, so what if it's congenital? How would you know that that can be Tohar through Shchita? And we say that Shchita is always Metayer a Treifa, even if it is a congenital Treifa. There must be a different point over here. Says the Tan of the Mishnah, look, actually, let's go back to your original question and say it should be the same as Behemoth Tmeah. So now I'm going to give you a different reason why it's not like a Behemoth Tmeah. Treifa is not the same. Because you understand that a Shchita is not going to be Metayer, the Nevela of a Behemoth Tmeah. But that's because it's not part of the set of things to which Shchita applies. This species does not have a concept of Shchita. That's all. Tomar b'treifas, when I say that when it comes to a treifa, this is part of the set of things that have the din of Shchita. And since Shchita works on it, I understand that there's another iser that's involved here, which is treifa, and that treifa didn't disappear. But the din of nevela disappears. It's not going to be tameh as a nevela. Because it didn't die. It was Nishchat. Isn't that the very meaning of Shchita? That Shchita is the opposite of death. So if something dies, it's a nevela. And if something is Shechted, it's not a nevela. Part of not being a nevela, these are like very fundamental concepts. Part of not being a nevela is that the animal will not be metame like a nevela. So therefore, if Shchita means it's not a nevela, how did the treifa suddenly become tame? Explain to me. It's not a nevela. So why in the world would it be called by you Maga Nevela? It's ridiculous. Now, let me give you an example where this logic actually compels us to say that Shchita will not help. Okay? How about if you have a kosher animal that is born living as an 8-month pregnancy? This is talking about a large animal. So, in other words, we're talking about like a parah that has a fetus, and it normally has the same gestation of 9 months that humans have. And let's say it was born at 8 months, or maybe at 4 months if you're talking about a sheep. So if that is not considered to be viable, so it's just a nephel. And remember that a nephel is considered to be dead, even while it's still living. And therefore, there's nothing that you can do about it. What are you going to say? Let me take this and shecht it. It was never part of a set of things that were roi for Shechita. That's the point. So that's as if it's a completely different species. There is no such thing as non-viable fetus that can be shechted. And therefore, it's not yet called Boker Vitzon, which is the Moker of Shechita, to be Zoveach the Boker Vitzon. So for all intents and purposes, it's the equivalent of a Behemoth Tmeah. Amazing. Okay, so there you see that we're very consistent with our logic here, and we would not be able to be Metaher a Ben Shmona. Okay, so now let's talk about the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, whether it's considered to be the meat that survives after we cut off the part that was the treifa. Is it considered to be tameh because it touched Avram and Achai, and therefore it's tameh maga nevela, or is it only tameh because of this derabbanan of a maga treifa shruta, where there's a din derabbanan by kachim that it is considered to be a tameh thing? But apparently, the reason that it's maga is because before you cut it off, it was in touch with the piece that was cut off, right? So now you have the entire fetus on the one hand, and you had the piece that you cut off that was treifa. And since it was allowed to actually, according to Rabbi Meir, be a nevela because of nipul, or according to the Chachamim, it was at least a treifa shruta, which is tameah. So then the part that was in touch with it, which has a din of foodstuff, even if it's alive because it was shechted, will be mekabel tuma either from the Avram and Achai or from the treifa shruta. We clear on this? Everybody, I need to know that we haven't lost concentration here. These are many, many new concepts. Are there questions we should ask now? Because it's going to get more complicated as we go. So everything up until this point is clear? Naftali is so clear he's actually laughing. Of course I'm clear. What could possibly be more clear? I was actually going to write a song about this. What's the problem, Naftali?
No, there's no problem, Rebbe. Just when Rebbe says cut off doesn't mean cut off. I'm just for purpose of clarity, it means just sticking out that they're cut off, because
No,
otherwise.
I mean cut off.
But if it's cut off, then it's not there anymore. It's somewhere
But
else.
that's what the Mishnah says. If you cut it off after it was already shechted, so then it was in touch with the food, even if the food is alive, the food being the fetus whose mother was shechted, that food came in contact with the part that was sticking out, the aver that was sticking out. And if that aver is aver min hachai, it was metame the food. And if that aver is trefa shchuta, it was metame
Yeah,
the
I'm
food.
just struggling how does this all happen? Like, say, you're shechting the mother, this fetus is coming out, and someone went to cut the leg of the fetus off. Is that what happened here?
Yes.
I thought we were talking that the leg is sticking out of the mother, and therefore the shechita makes the leg not part of the whole thing, and then even if it's stuck still to the fetus.
You're confusing the din of nipul, which is not a physical thing, it's a halachic thing. Nipul, the question is, what defines the status of that leg? Is it as if it's part of the animal or as if it's not part of the animal?
That's what I thought we were discussing the whole time, but now he's saying we're cutting the
No,
leg
now
off.
we're talking about the question of the contact between that piece that was sticking out and the food. So if I cut it off before the shechita, so then there never was any food that came in contact with it because it was alive at the time that I cut it off. And live things are not mekabel tuma. But if I first shechted it and then cut it off, so then there was food that was in touch with this inedible trefa or aver min hachai, depending if you hold of nipul, which we'll see, leg. And therefore, whatever was in contact with that
Because the
leg,
leg
the
was sticking
stomach.
out, or because the leg was cut off, that's why I'm struggling. What Rebbe just said now, it came in contact with the mother because the mother was now food because of shechita, or not food because it's death, and then someone cut the leg of the fetus off, or the leg was just sticking out. That's I'm confused, because cut off could mean both things here. So I'm just sweating here a little bit.
Nipple is not cut off. Nipple is
Okay.
technical disconnect.
Technical disconnect. But
Right.
Rebbe says cut off, that means really cut off.
Cut off means cut off. What
Okay.
you are struggling with, which what you don't realize yet, is actually a problem that the Gemara is going to ask. Who
Well, that's why
cares?
I was laughing, because I was pretty sure this is all gonna come sort of.
Who cares whether it's cut off or not? The important thing is that it's touching it, not that
Yeah.
it's cut off. That's what's bothering you. If the
Correct.
problem is that it's going to be metame the food, why does it have to be cut off? Whatever, whether it's there, it's not there. The point is the food is in contact with something tame. That's what's bothering you.
Yeah, that's why I'm
That's
laughing.
what's bothering you, and that indeed the Gemara is going to ask. What's the point of cutting it off? We don't need for it to be cut off. But this is now our entry point into exactly that question. Okay. So anyway, everything clear? Everyone, hello, calling all cars, planet Earth, or wherever you are. Okay. Wonderful. So now the question is, but where was the contact? When something is attached to something else, that doesn't mean it's in contact with something else. Why not? Because you cannot have contact through Beit HaSetarim. You can only have contact on surfaces. And over here, the contact of the limb that's stinking out and the rest of the food. It never touched it. It only was attached to it, but attachment is Beit HaSetarim. So if something is connect touches something in a place that it's not exposed, it's not metame it. Correct? Okay, so then how was this metame it? Asked the Gemara. Amai, tumat Beit HaSetarim. This is like the classic Beit HaSetarim. There was nothing on the surface, And now you're telling me that it's tummy, tumat beta starim is not mitame. So maybe when Rabbi Meir said over here that it's tummy maga nevela, that's because Rabbi Meir, he actually seems to hold that we don't care about whether it's tumas beis hasatorim. And the question is, maybe this is going according to him. Where do we see that he does not seem to mind? Now, we're oversimplifying, as we're going to see. It is not true that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold the tumat beta story. It's that Rabbi Meir includes cases where contact comes through cutting off something, and he says that that is not called tumat beta story. So, what's the case that we're referring to? This is the case that we had in the Mishnah in Kehillim. Remember that we have two separate shiurim for Kabbalah's Tumah on pieces of cloth. We've got a large piece of cloth, which is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, and that is big enough to be mekabel the Tumah of Midras Hazav. Now, because it's big enough to sit down on, to lie on. Okay? What's the din of Tumah's Midras? The Midras itself becomes an Av HaTumah. So if a person touches the Midras Hazav in a very unusual situation where there's no attenuation of the Tumah, but even if the Zav never even touches this, he just lies down and he's wearing his clothes and there's no contact whatsoever, you will remember that that's called Tumas Midras. And that Tumas Midras is much more chamor than Tumas Maga. And it will be Metame and Adam. So now, if you have something that is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, and that's a tefach is Lashon Zachar, and therefore the way to remember whether you're talking about a tefach or you're talking about an etzba is whether you say shlosha al shlosha, which is masculine, and therefore it's a tefachim, or if you say shalosh al shalosh, if it's shalosh al shalosh, then it's only 3 by 3 etzbaot. If it's only 3 by 3 etzbaot, it's not big enough to sit down on, but it is big enough for patchwork. And therefore, it will be mekabel tumah, but it cannot be midras. Okay, now we get that clear so we can continue. Which would mean that if something was 3 by 3 tefachim, the big size, and a zav sat down on it or stepped on it would be heavy-duty tumah because it would be tumas midras that could be metame adam. The moment that I would cut that piece into two, the Tumas Midras would disappear because you cannot continue to maintain Tuma, remember, in a broken kli. And if I make it less than 3 by 3 tvachim, it is not capable of handling Tumas Midras, right? So if I tear it into two, it will lose its Tumas Midras. But it will still be tame because it touched midras. It did? Yeah. While I cut it, it was in touch with itself, wasn't it? So that's exactly this case. Here we have the uber being in touch with its other part that was subsequently cut off. And here we have the tuma of this beged, which was in touch with its other half. And therefore, it was mekabel tumas midras at that point. So it can't handle midras, but it could be something that touched midras. And if it's something that touched midras, it's still going to be metame oichlin umashkin. And therefore, it's not tohar just because I ripped it. It's tame, but much less tame. Can only be metame oichlin umashkin. How about that? Is that fun? Are we happy? Do we see how that is the same case as the aver that now was in touch with itself? The Uber was in touch with that Aver, so that Rebbe Meir would be consistent here in saying that it would be Mekabel Tumah, because apparently, as you cut it, it is able to be Mekabel Tumah. Or maybe you don't even need to cut it. I don't know. Let's take a look at the Mishnah in Kalim and review it for a moment. Tetnat. Shlosha al Shlosha. This is Lashon Zachar. And it's a reference to tefachim, so it's the larger size. So if you have a piece of cloth, which is 3 by 3 tefachim, And it was tameh because Ezav had stepped on it. And now you split it into two. Shenechalak. At that moment, it loses its tumas midras. But both pieces are tameh maga midras, the Rebbe Meir. So this is the same case that we have here. To which Rabbi Yossi says, what are you talking about? How did this touch any midras? It never came in touch with any midras. Anything that it touched was tumat beta starim, but it never touched an actual open area. The most you can say is that if the Zav did not just sit on it, but he sat on it with his body uncovered, so let's say he stepped on it barefoot, so then it would be Maga Zav, but not Maga Midras. So you'd be right that it would be Mitame Mashkin, Mashkin, in the event that he wasn't wearing his socks at the time, you know? But if he was wearing his socks at the time, forget it. Then he wouldn't be Tame at all. The most you can say is that Im Nagabo HaZav, the Zav actually touched it, so then it would be Maga Zav. But it certainly is no way that it would be Mitame if it was in contact with itself, because that was Beit HaStarim. So apparently, in our Mishnah, apparently both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim that argue with him hold like Rabbi Meir Shita about this part, and they both agree that Tumat Beit HaStarim is going to be Metame, right? No, not right, says the Gemara, because you're forgetting how we explained the Mishnah in Kalim. Remember, Lav Itmar Allah, didn't we have a great explanation of that? Ula explained, where is this true? It's only true that there's a machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, where you started off only with 3 by 3 tvachim, and now you split it into two. So then that means that the only contact that you had with it while it was a Betame Midras was while it was whole. So that is, according to Rabbi Yossi, Tumas Beis HaStarim, and there's no way that it would be Mitame. But if you're talking about a blanket, a large blanket, and you cut off a little piece, which is 3 by 3 etzba'ot, shalash al shalash, which come from a large blanket, so they're ba'ot mi beged gadol, then if the beged gadol part would retain its Tumas Midras, and the torn piece is tohar because it can't maintain too much midras because it's too small, there for sure it would be metame midras. Why? Because remember that as you're tearing it, it doesn't separate instantly. You're going to have tearing and some strands that are going to come in touch with each other, and they're going to be metame, not as beta starim. So since you're pulling it apart, everybody would agree at that point that b'sha'at prishatan mi avihem, as they're separating, they are certainly going to touch for an instant, but that's all it needs in order to be mekabel tumah. Therefore, we're not talking about anymore about beit ha'starim. That's enough to be metame, and even Rabbi Yossi agrees to that. It's true that if you took a cleaver and you cut the whole thing, boom. So then, ain't hachinami. Maybe nobody would hold that it's metame. For sure, not Rabbi Yossi. But in this case, there is a contact. So maybe that's the point in the Mishnah as well. There is a contact as it's being torn. B'shat prishatan me'ever, mekabel tuma me'ever. So the same thing is true here, hanami. And that would explain Naphtali's problem. Why did the Mishnah specify that it need to be cut off? Because the only contact was while it was being cut. If you never cut it, it never had a chance to become tameh. You see? So the way that Ula explained it actually answers Naphtali. And we're going to use this as a raya to this approach. Excellent. This is quite an exciting sugya. All right, then. Bezrat Hashem, see you tomorrow. Hinei el Yeshuati, Iftach v'lo efchad.